Well, good morning. So glad you're here with us this morning and glad you're worshiping with us online as well. So, how did you pull off that last song? So that last song was one that we sang at Justice's memorial service. It was the last song we sang at Justice's memorial service. So I was up there weeping. And she's up here singing like nothing's wrong. I just can't imagine how you did that. That's incredible. Practice and discipline, I guess, and she knew it was coming, so. Could have warned me, I guess, but, you know, who's counting? Yeah, read your bulletin, she says. You're actually the pastor and could know. Yeah. Well, where were we? So thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers, systematically, faithfully, lovingly volunteering week in and week out to systematically teach our kids the Word of God. Hey, do you trust God's heart? So we say prayer aligned with the heart of God. Is that something that you desire? Or would you prefer that God get in line with your heart? So if you just listen to yourself pray a second, a lot of times, you just listen to yourself pray, I think a lot of times we spend most of our energy trying to align God with our hearts. So God, help me, and then you kind of fill in the blank. God, this is kind of what I need today, so God, I really need you to... So you're trying to get God in line with your plan. God, would you heal me? Would you heal them? Kind of like, God, this is my plan for my life. Would you endorse it, and would you fund it? Would you do that? God, give me, give them. Kind of this is what I want. Would you get on board with that? Trusting God's heart is hard, especially if you had a dad that wasn't really there, wasn't great when he was there. To pray our Father and trust the Father's love when your earthly father didn't show you a lot of love, or wasn't consistent, was kind of cruel, it's really hard to trust God's heart. We're talking about trusting God's heart today, and this is because we're working through our core values as a church. This is part of a series where we're working through our core values, and prayer, aligned with the heart of God, is one of our core values. So we began with, a couple weeks ago, we couldn't show you the graphic, but it was in the bulletin, to your point. Multiply followers of Jesus Christ is our mission statement, and then one of our core values is worship, offer our lives back to God, and then learn, transformed by biblical truth. That's where we were last week, and now we're on prayer, align with the heart of God. So before we jump in to the Word and look at God's heart, would you pray with me? Lord, I just ask, as we talk about the worst things in our lives, and as we talk about stuff that we'd rather not look at or think about, stuff that's really hard, Lord, I just pray that you help us see your heart and trust it. And Lord, I pray that you would stand in front of me while I'm in front of them, that you talk over me while I talk to them, so it's your heart they see. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Apostle Paul starts like this: I must go on boasting. So a little bit of context here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He spent quite a bit of time with the Corinthian church and energy on the Corinthian church. And they've had some people come in after him who are leading them astray. And they're saying things like, the Apostle Paul is not a very good apostle because look how often he changes his mind. And he says, I wasn't changing my mind. We looked at this last week. I just didn't want to come to you right away because I didn't know if our relationship could handle it. I thought that might be the last time I came to you. They're also like, he's not a very good apostle because he doesn't even charge you. He's like, I came and I served you and I gave to you because I love you like a father takes care of his children. Like, are you kidding? They're like, he's not a good apostle because look how much he suffers. And Paul's saying, I'm suffering because of the work I'm doing for Christ. They're saying he's not a very good apostle. He's not very articulate in his speech. And he's like, I'm telling you the truth about God so that you know God. And they're like, he's not a very good apostle because he hasn't had very many spiritual experiences, not like our spiritual experiences. And so the Apostle Paul is addressing this. Now, so you can see this and not, like, just take my word for it. If you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, why don't you look over at verse 11 with me? So chapter 12, verse 11, we'll come back to verse 1 in just a second. Chapter 12, verse 11, he's been boasting in his weakness, boasting in general. He says, I have been a fool. You forced me to it, for I ought to have been commended by you, for I was not at all inferior to these super apostles. These are the bad guys that have come in that are saying, Paul's not a very good apostle. We're way better, so follow us, not Paul. And Paul is, you know, kind of going after them and building up his credibility so they'll believe him and believe the truth. You can also see that in chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles open and you're flipping back with me, chapter 11, verse 5, indeed, I consider that I am not the least inferior to these super apostles, these people who come in and think they're all that. So the Apostle Paul is going to boast now because they're saying we have more credibility than Paul because we've had better spiritual experiences than Paul. Paul is going to, he's going to say, okay, well, I've had some spiritual experiences too. So I'll just let you hear it here. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. All right, so the Apostle Paul knows boasting is dangerous. You ever do something that you know is dangerous? You ever done something you know is dangerous? All these curtains were moved over the last week. People were up. John Miller, Dave Gillies, up on ladders, all the way up there. I told my sons, man, those guys don't care. They don't care. Like, it's crazy. They just go up there, and they just move stuff, just like me kind of going up those steps. Like, they don't care. They just go up there and do it. Like, this is nuts. The Apostle Paul is saying, boasting is more dangerous than that because I'm in danger of pride, and I'm in danger of self-reliance. I'm in danger of becoming what I was, and I don't want to go back to that. It's kind of like he was addicted to pride. He was addicted to respect. He was addicted to the praise of people. And he's like, I got to do this. I got to do this for you, but I'm going to do it super carefully. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to hate it every second. But for your sake, I'm going to try. So he's like, I know a guy. He's talking about himself. But he knows this is so dangerous and stupid to boast that he's like, I know this guy, you know. I know a man, he's talking about himself. I know a man who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Like, this was such a crazy spiritual experience. I don't even know if I was in my body or if it was my spirit ascending to heaven. I don't even know. And he heard things that cannot be told, which may not utter. Like I can't even tell you what I saw up there. I can't even tell you. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But not on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my own weaknesses. He's like, I don't even want to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it for your sake. Mostly I'd rather talk about my weaknesses. That's going to be a key word. We're going to talk a lot about weaknesses here. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for if I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think of me more than he sees in me or hears of me. Like, I don't want this to be about me. This is about the Lord, but I'm going to say this for your sake. So to keep me from becoming conceited. All right, so if you underline in your Bible, that wouldn't be a bad thing to underline. So to keep me from becoming conceited, that word conceited, like full of yourself, like self-reliant, like it's all about me, kind of pride, right? So to keep me from becoming conceited, this is going to be really important, be a key theme today. Because the surpassing greatness of the revelations A thorn was given me in the flesh. So as you think about the heart of God, and you're trying to decide whether or not to trust the heart of God, here's what I'd offer you today. That God gives what is best. That you can trust God's heart, even if you don't like what's going on, even if you don't understand what's going on, even if you're frustrated with what's going on, even if there's something in your life that you hate, you can trust God's heart that he gives what is best. And this is what the Apostle Paul is going to argue. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. So that's the thorn. The thorn is the messenger of Satan. God evidently gave one of Satan's minions permission to go and mess with Paul. That bothers me too, but it's right up there on the screen. It's in our Bibles. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. See how that's on both sides of this? So what is this thorn that Paul has? Well, before we get to that, Ezra had a thorn in the flesh one time. So we were out at the lake, and Ezra is running across the field and has this terrific thorn in his flesh. You remember this, Ezra? How could you forget, right? So he gets this huge thorn in his flesh, and I wasn't there at the beginning of it. So Cheyenne would have dealt with a sliver anyway. Slivers are her area more than they're mine. She just loves it for some reason. Like, she loves getting the needle out and the tweezers and, like, digging in deep. Like, Mom, it's not even over there. But she just loves it. And, like, she's got the stuff, and she's working on Ezra, and he's crying. He's pretty little at the time. It was, like, last week. I'm kidding. It was a long time ago. And so she's working on his foot and working on his foot and working on his foot. For, like, 45 minutes, she's working on his foot, and it won't come out. She can't get it out. So I'm like, well, we can go home right now or we can play for a while. And he's like, I guess we'll play for a while. So, you know, so we play, but he can't ever really, you know, he's kind of like, you know, you just do your the best you can, right? At the end of the day, we leave and I go take him to the med center here in Allegan. And the nurse comes in and cleans it and gets her tools. And she tries to get it out, she can't get it out. She tries to get it out, she can't get it out. She tries to get it out, she can't get it out. She tries to get it out, she can't get it out. So finally she goes and gets the doctor. And the doctor comes in, and it takes the doctor 20 minutes to get this thing out. It was awful. I want you to feel, okay? The thorn in your flesh is the thing you hate. It's the thing in your life that you hate. It's the thing in your life that you pray and pray and pray, please make this go away, please take this away, please, I hate this. It's not something you would pick. A thorn is the notion of something sharp and painful, which sticks deeply into the flesh. And in the will of God, that's the part about God's heart I'm talking to you about. And in the will of God defies coming out or extraction. The effect of its presence was to cripple Paul's enjoyment of life. Do you know something about that? The thing that won't go away? The effect of its presence was to cripple Paul's enjoyment of life. Like, you can function with a thorn in your foot, but you can't enjoy life with a thorn in your foot. And to frustrate his full efficacy by draining his energies. Like, he's always tired, he's always in pain, it's always frustrating, it never goes away. Implication number one is that God gives what is best, so God determined that the thorn was better than pride. The thorn was better than pride. The messenger of Satan harassing Paul was better than Paul being prideful. I've seen some of you go through chemo, and you get chemo and you get sick. You get chemo and you get tired. You get chemo and you get a lot of chemo and it starts to kill you. But you decided that the chemo was better than the cancer. So you live with the chemo so that the cancer can be in remission. Sat with people before surgeries. And in this surgery, they're going to open you wide open. And they're going to take some stuff out, or they're going to move some stuff around. This is going to be invasive. Recovery is going to be really long. Recovery is going to be really hard. Recovery is going to require rehab. It's going to be invasive and intensive and hard. But you decide the surgery is better than leaving things the way they are. I like to watch football. And so typically when I watch football, I have the remote. Not just because I'm the alpha male in the house, but I have the remote, and so I mute the commercials because I hate listening to commercials. I like to talk to the people that are in the room, and so I typically have them out, and I typically mute the commercials, but sometimes I don't. And so what's amazing to me is all the commercials for medication that you see during the football games, and they're like, you know, and there's this beautiful video of people playing in a field by water. You know, it's this pretty situation. You're like, may cause your eyeballs to dry up and roll out of your head like marbles. May cause your hands to melt off in acrid smoke. May cause sudden and violent death. And you're like, who would take that? People who have decided the medication is better than the disease. That's who. And Paul is like, I mean, I hate this thorn. I hate it. I hate it. But it's better than the conceit. A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and keep me from being conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. Now, I mean, maybe in your picture of Paul, you see him like on the way somewhere, walking with, you know, his traveling seminary and just praying three flippant times. And that's kind of your view of Paul. It's not my view of Paul. When I think of Paul, I think of three prolonged seasons of fasting and prayer. I think of three intense seasons. He's like, oh yeah, that was that month when I prayed about that. Like, oh yeah, that was that season when I fasted and prayed about that. Like three intense seasons of prayer. Of like, please take this away. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes no is better than yes, because God knows better than we do. Have you ever babysat for somebody and they have little kids? Ever been a parent? Ever been a grandparent and you have little kids running around asking for stuff? Sometimes you say no because you know what is better for them. You know what's better for them, so sometimes you have to say no. And the Apostle Paul, with perspective, can trust God's heart and say, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It was better for me to know I'm weak and lean into his power than think I'm strong and do everything in my strength. Sometimes no is better than yes, because God's heart is such that he knows better than we do and loves us more than we even love ourselves. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. It's like when I boast, if I boast, I will boast about my weakness rather than my strength, because I need to rely on God's power. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. That's quite a list. And I'm going to come back to that word, be content. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Why is he content with that list? Because, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Because weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities remind me that I am weak. And they remind me to lean on Christ. And when I lean on Christ, then I am strong. Because the Apostle Paul would say, weakness, human weakness, is better than human strength, because human weakness relies on Christ. So if you still have your Bible out, would you turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to show you the very beginning of this letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hear Paul's heart here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so deeply burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Have you ever had anyone say to you, God won't give you more than you can handle? Maybe take them to this verse and be like, if only Paul knew. It's not true at all. God gave them way more than they could handle. I'm going to read it again because you're like, well, that's not true. Listen, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Like, we thought we were going to die. We didn't think we were going to live because we were so burdened. It was so hard. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Like, we despaired of life. We didn't want to live. We thought we were going to die because we thought it was going to be too much for us. We were just going to die. Verse 9, part B. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Hey, why is weakness better than strength? Human weakness better than strength? Because human weakness reminds us that we are weak, and it helps us lean on God. Our weakness helps us lean on God. It reminds us that we need him. A Roman general or emperor parading through the throng of cheering crowds at a great triumphal procession. Maybe you've seen a movie like Gladiator, or maybe you've seen, I don't remember, the other old films of like stadiums of cheering people, cheering for the Roman general or the Roman emperor, would have a slave in the chariot with him. Never see this in the movies. So the general, the emperor, riding through the throng of cheering folk would have a slave in the chariot with him. And what was the slave's job? Whose job it was to whisper in his ear. And what would he whisper in his ear? He'd whisper, you too are mortal. The ancients recognized mostly, not all the time, but mostly, that it was dangerous to become too elated, or you could become guilty of what they called hubris or arrogant pride. Paul, too, had something that whispers in his ear. A thorn in the flesh. And maybe you do too. Something that whispers in your ear. You too are mortal. You too are weak. You too need God's help and God's strength. So, what should we do? First, I'd encourage you to ask. First, ask. Paul asked. Ask that it would be taken away. It's okay to ask. You know, like, I don't want you to hear you can't ask. I don't want you to hear it's selfish to ask, or you shouldn't ask, or it's wrong to ask. Ask. Jesus taught us to ask. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. But trust the Father's heart the whole time. He said, which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a rock? You just have to know that in this context, for the Apostle Paul, if God would have taken away the thorn, it would have been like giving him a rock rather than bread, even though the Apostle Paul thought it would be bread to take the thorn away. Does that make sense? If Jesus said, like, if your son, if he asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you? Man, trust the Father's heart and ask. Ask with all your heart. And just trust him to give you the right thing, that he won't give you a rock or a snake. And this is what our Lord modeled. You see the Apostle Paul here go and pray about this three times. Three times. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember that? How many times did Jesus pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember? Three. And he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words again. Pray. Pray. Ask. And then trust. Trust that his heart is for you and that he loves you. Like, if you're here and you're like, I just don't know. I don't know why he would let Paul suffer. I don't know why he would let me suffer. I just don't understand. Hey, can I? Like, okay, so the Apostle Paul had a thorn, right? I just want you to remember, Jesus didn't have one thorn. He had a crown of thorns. He also had nails. He also had a scourge. He also had a spear and a bloody cross. He took your place because he loves you. Like, Jesus didn't have just a messenger from Satan. He had Satan himself come and tempt him. Jesus didn't have the assurance that his strength would be made perfect in my weakness because Jesus was forsaken on the cross. Remember, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you and I never would be. Can trust the heart of God. The author of the Hebrews reminds us of this. He says, we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Like, Jesus is the high priest. He understands weaknesses. He understands what you're going through. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin, he understands temptation. He understands weakness. He understands sleepless nights. He understands what you're going through. Let us then draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ask. Ask and trust. Trust that he is for you and that he loves you, that his heart is good. And then third, maybe hardest of all, make peace. Make peace. This is that word content. Remember I said I'd come back to the word content? I've learned to be content. Make peace. Be content. Because you trust the Father's heart. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. I am content. Why is he content? He's content because he knows this is what it takes for a guy like him to lean on Christ. Paul, you just have to know, like, as I've read the book of Acts, you just have to know, Paul was always the strongest guy in the room when it comes to just physical presence. Raging strength. Paul always, always had the most energy in the room. Relentless energy. Relentless, restless energy, moving from one thing to the next. Paul was always the smartest guy in the room. Always the smartest guy in the room. He had just ridiculous intellect. And yet Paul is saying, Paul knows that in order for him not to be conceited with all of his energy, all of his strength, all of his inner, what he has to have is he has to have a thorn. It'll cause him to lean. So he makes peace with it. What I want you to hear is that Paul didn't have this thorn and think, I must be doing it wrong because I have a thorn. A lot of times, if you like, something's wrong in your life, people assume that you're doing it wrong. Well, you must be doing it wrong. Let me show you how to get rid of that. Paul didn't figure out how to get rid of it. He learned to live with it. You know, in all of the books by the super apostles then, and in all of the books by the super apostles now, on the third try, you know, as Paul prays and Paul prays and Paul prays and Paul prays and asks God to take it away, and he goes through these long seasons of fasting and long seasons of fasting. He goes through the first one and it doesn't go away. He goes through the second one and it doesn't go through. And then on the third time, what always happens in all the books written by all the super apostles then and now, the Lord takes it away. And the Lord doesn't take it away in this passage, because this is what the Apostle Paul needs to lean. And if the Lord in his providence has decided that you need something that helps you lean, then it's okay to make peace with it. I am content, Paul says. So what we've said is, trust God's heart because he gives what is best. Ask, trust, and make peace. Prayer is when we align with the heart of God. Let me pray. Lord, our Father. Lord, for those of you, those here who aren't sure they can trust you, who aren't sure about your heart, Lord, I pray that you would show them your heart in Scripture and let them see you in the person of Jesus, and let them see your love for them. Lord, in their work, if they're stressed out and worried about their work, Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified in their vocations. Lord, if they're stressed out about their families and they're just worried sick about their kids, I pray that your kingdom would come with their kids. Lord, if they're worried about health, if they're worried about friends and neighbors, Lord, I pray that your will would be done in their families, where they live, as it is already being done in heaven. And Lord, for those who are concerned about not having enough, they just don't have enough, and it never seems to be enough, Lord, I pray that you would give them this day their daily bread, that you would give them enough for each day. And Lord, for those who are haunted by their sin, haunted night and day, haunted all the time with regret, I pray that you would assure them that if they confess their sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive them of their sins and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. They, because of your blood, they can be utterly, totally, completely clean. And Lord, as you've forgiven them, help them to forgive others. Help them to forgive the same way they've been forgiven. And Lord, lead them not into temptation. The temptation to become proud, to become self-sufficient, to think they have it all together and that they don't need you. Keep them from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lord, I pray these things, knowing that one day you will, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.